Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always a privilege when we have an opportunity to be congregated together, to worship the Lord, and to gather around the Word of God. So it is this morning, we give you glory, honor, praise, dominion, and power that belong unto you. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the time of singing and sharing, Word of God, with one another here this morning. Bible says, one sin same to another. And a book of remembrance was opened before the Lord. So we know as we share together, God opens before himself the book of remembrance. So now as we read the Word of God this morning, Lord, to encourage ourselves, bless the reading of your word, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. What a calling we have, a holy calling. Praise the Lord Jesus. Don't take this calling for granted. The high calling of God in Christ, in your place, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let anything mellow it down for you or just water it down for you. Holy brethren, as long as that you know. You are holy. Bible says we are holy as long as that you know. Anyway, he said, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. We are professionals, you know. We have many professionals here, right? We have teachers, we have, praise the Lord. But in Christianity, it's a profession. So this morning, our profession, just that one, that two word from that particular verse, our profession as Christian. The Greek word, which was translated profession, is actually the same word called confession. You want to already translate that, Call it profession, but other version of the Bible call it, the Greek word is confession. So we are commanded to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when what we confess is in accordance with God's word, our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, will act on our behalf. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. All upon the word of God. When your confession, what you are confessing, is according to his word, then our eternal high priest will act on your behalf on the confession of his word. Many people today, God, children of God, they fail to recognize or to receive, rather, what they are praying about because of lack of understanding about the word confession. Many prayers are not answered because people are not God's children. They lack understanding about that word confession. Too many prayers are going on, we know that. But where God's people pray mostly is confession, the word of God. Very, very important, The word confession, like I said in the Greek, it means saying the same thing again and again. Well, translated profession, but you say saying the same thing, repeat to yourself over and over again. Even in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, this word of the Lord, right, shall not depart from your mouth. In this that meditate day and night. And confess it all the time. So we have to learn to really confess what God has said in his word, for it to really work for us and so on that, So anyway, it means saying the same thing over and over. It means to believe and say everything the word of God says and included in our redemption. Whatever Christ has put in our redemption and so on, we have to say them, believe them first of all, and say them. How do we get saved? That way we get saved is a pattern throughout our Christian life. Let's see how we get saved in Romans 10:9. It says it, that if thou shalt confess, see that one word confess, with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the word of God. That's how we come to the Lord. Any Christian at all must have passed through this process. Amen? One cannot be a Christian without having passed through this process, this particular, what I'm reading this morning, and so on, you know. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we see right there that the confession, I mean, saying the same thing that God says, is by faith. It is believing and confessing before experiencing the result. You got to believe it before you experience it, you know. That's the way the God works, right? Contrary to what the world believes. What says, show me, then I believe. God says, believe and I will show you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Can you see how human nature can be so contrary to God's word and things like that? You know, that's why people don't get the results. That's another, you know. So anyway, so we see. Now, so we see. No, so the confession comes first, and then the Lord Jesus, our high priest, will respond with a new birth in case of salvation. It is not salvation unto confession. No, it is confession unto salvation. Amen. Amen. Don't turn it around now. So you see, so it is not salvation unto confession, but confession unto salvation. Confession comes before salvation. There is no such thing as salvation without confession. No, not at all, really, you know. Salvation is an all-inclusive word. That's why I'm going to spread it throughout all our Christian life, this same pattern of how we get saved. Salvation is not just saved from sin. It's the full redemption of Christ that is brought in salvation. Praise the Lord. People have narrowed it down just to forgiveness of sin, both by brother and sister. It is, you know, all the redemptive, you know, work of Christ. No, it's our salvation, as well as you know. So anyway, so salvation is an all-inclusive word, not just saved from sin only. Therefore, we receive what we are praying for along the same line as we receive salvation. The one I read to you in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Praise the Lord. Amen. Think about yourself, you know, as well as you know. Faith is acting on God's word. This always puts God to work fulfilling his promise. You know, when you do that. Confession is an affirmation of a Bible truth that we have embraced. See? You affirm it. And something like that, you know, just like your salvation, believe in your heart first, and then you confess. Anyway, it is simply believing with our heart and repeating with our lips God's own declaration of what we are in Christ. Confession is faith. Faith way of expressing itself. I say confession is faith way of expressing itself. One place say we believe, then we speak, right? That's right. See? That's how it works in God's word, all about the faith, just like our salvation and all like that, you know. So anyway, so when our affirmation is the word of God, then God watches over that to make it good, or to make it to come to pass. In Jeremiah 1:12, towards the part of it, I will hasten my word to perform it. When your affirmation is God's word, God will hasten to perform it for you and so on. That's the last part of Jeremiah 1:12, right? So now, what are we really confessing? Well, it is easy to fail to recognize the place which confession holds in God's plan for our appropriation of his blessing. That's a lot that confession does in appropriating God's blessing in your life and my life. A lot, but many of God's children miss that place of confession, really, you know. Whenever the word confession is used, in many instances, God's children instinctively are thinking of confessing sin. They narrow everything down to sin. Ought not to be so, really, you know. And maybe confessing sin, maybe weakness, and maybe failure. All those things are just the negative side of confession. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. All those things, you know, sin and so on, that, you know, failure and so on, that, you know, I can't do that, I can't do that. That's just negative side of confession, really. Our negative confession of sin was only to open the way for the positive confession unto salvation, really, you know. This covers a whole lifetime of believing with our heart and saying with our lips everything God says to us in his promises. I'm saying that initial step you take in believing and confessing the word of God is good, but it's going to permeate throughout your life as a Christian. All promises of God, when you believe, you confess them, and it brings protection to you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Don't neglect confession. No, not just saying, we are the part that one, but of all the promises of God. Confessing unto salvation, both in its initial form, when you get saved, and then in each of its successive form, because it will be like, for you to get all you want in your life, that God promised, you have to do the same thing. If you are sick, for example, God said he has healed you, right? You got to confess it to, amen? Praise the Lord. That might mean you don't get healed too, you know? You have to confess it, you know? So it's all over the plan of redemption for our life. That's what very, very important. And the Lord is the high priest of our confession. He holds that office, right? Because he wants you to confess his word, not just him alone. Anyway, now, we confess God's word first in the form of the new birth, like I said before, then in the form of every blessing that is promised us in the Bible. It continues all your Christian experience. I just want to this morning emphasize that confession thing, and that, you know. The Christian is to act on every phase of his salvation that he knows about. You have to do that. We are to believe with the heart and confess with our mouth to the extent of the whole counsel of God. See? All that God has promised, the same way you the salvation, you believe in your heart and you confess there. You know? Now, all that the Lord did in his substitution for you and mine, for you and I, you know, is a private property for you and I as a Christian. All he did for you and I. When he died for you, he died for me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Everything he did for you and so. When he defeated the devil in the dark region of the damned, he did this for you and I. He didn't bring sin to the world. He came to deliver us from sin and the bondage. Amen? So everything he did is for you and I. You know, that's he did for us and so on. That, you know? So anyway, throughout our Christian life, God wants us to believe with our heart and say with our lips, you know, all he says we are in Christ. We are not to ignore or neglect our legal standing in Christ. It is the basis for the acts of faith, really, that puts God to work, fulfilling his word to us. When you do that, we are to confess, or even if you want to whisper to yourself, you know, and our heart, what the Lord say in Colossians 2:10, I'll be picking out some things, otherwise I'm going to stay here all day long. If I have to tell you, all you should be confessing. I have to tell you all the promises of God, amen. Praise the Lord. So I'll just pick some of them here now. You can say in Colossians 2:10, I'm complete in him, amen. Who is the head of all principality and power. You are not inferior to anybody. Nobody is holier than you. Amen. Nobody is more righteous than you. Amen. Amen. What is righteousness? Christ is our righteousness. Are there two Christ? No, it's only one Christ, right? Don't let anybody's devil put you down. Nobody is more. Job said, I'm not inferior to any of you. Or the book of Job said, you are not inferior to anybody. You know? You are not. Nobody is more righteous than you. And you will. You won't get any more righteous than you are when you get saved, amen? Why? Because Christ is the same, right? You can have more fruit of righteousness, right? That is okay, right? But righteousness in itself is Christ now, so you can be more righteous than you are when you are saved. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So we see. So you say to yourself, I'm complete, you know, in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we need healing, we are to believe and confess with our lips what the word of God says. Even in the Old Testament, Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You confess that, you believe, you confess that, right? I'm going to pick different parts of our redemption, you know. When you do, the Lord will act as our high priest and will make it good. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. We have to confess that Calvary was our emancipation Proclamation. You know, when the slave trade, you know, the slave trade here in the south, I mean, you know, some of that, you know, Abraham Lincoln and so on, you know, declare that emancipation and so on, that, you know. In the same way, spiritually, you know, we have to confess that Calvary was our emancipation proclamation. Free us from everything outside the will of God. And we should act accordingly. See? So you confess it and tell me that you know that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is your emancipation proclamation. Free you and I from everything outside the will of God. And you act accordingly as you confess it and so on. When you think you are weak, whether spiritually or physically, say like Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Confession. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Or you say in Psalm 118 verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and it's become my salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Like I said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to name all God's promises really, you know. So when this is happening, contrary to the word of God, find the right word of God that you confess, not the other way. Our confession should include the whole of scripture truth. All that the Lord's sacrifice provided, no, it should include that. All that his high priesthood covers, and the whole of God's revealed will. That should be our confession, really. You know, that is the whole lot, isn't it? We are to confess that our redemption is complete. We are to confess that Satan's dominion is ended in our life. We have to confess Calvary has freed us. We have to believe that we are free on the basis of our emancipation proclamation. Never, of course, on the basis of our feelings or on the evidence of our senses. So, you see, we don't depend upon the senses. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, when we walk in the realm of the senses, we have abandoned the will of God right there in that particular thing of our life. You know, when you turn to your believing, you have start to act upon what you are feeling in your senses, then you have abandoned the plan of God right there. You stay right on what God has said. We always say it here. You get five senses to interact with the physical world. You don't touch God with that. No, you touch God by faith, right? And we call it the sixth sense, really, amen? Praise the Lord. Faith, the sixth sense is just faith in God's word and God's word alone. If God says, by whose I am healed, I am healed. Yes. I can be feeling pain here, doesn't take it away, amen? You just stay with the word of God, it must come to pass, amen? People give up when the battle is almost won, then they will give up. Then they think, God doesn't do something. No, he can never lie, amen? That's one thing God can never do. Oh, God can do everything. No, he can't do everything. It is impossible that God should lie. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. So confession this morning, the word of God and everything that he has said and so on. Anyway, so now, we are a new creature. All things have passed away. See, that like a simple scripture, right? But when Satan begins to put things around you, we forget all these scriptures and so maybe he remind you of the past and so what do you tell him? Tell them I'm a new creature in Christ, amen. All things are passed away, amen. All that old man you are looking at is gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is a new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. I accuse you of this, accuse her of the brethren. The Bible called them, right? And when he does that, what does he do? He stamping your faith. He makes your faith to be stagnant. When they accuse you and begin to listen to him, then your faith doesn't work, right? If you listen to him, no. Praise the Lord. Now, see the word only, not just, don't let him tell you anything. Tell him it is written. Amen? I'm a new person in Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyway, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyway, we are to make a continual confession of our redemption from Satan's dominion. Now, a warning here, beware of wrong confession. You can sleep in, cannot really wash in. Beware of wrong confession. It has been well said that we never rise above our confession. That's true. You cannot rise above your confession. That's how powerful confession is, isn't it? So, a negative confession will lower us to the level of that confession. That's what he does. You know? It is what we confess with our lips that really controls us, whether we like it or not. Whether you mean it or you don't mean it. You know? Eventually, you know, you are better keep quiet. You know? When the wrong thoughts come to your mind, you know, just don't confess it. Amen? If we die unborn, all of us will have negative thoughts until we are changed. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the devil condemn you because you have negative thoughts. You know, as well as that, you know. No, but just tell him it is written. That's how the Lord defeated him, you know. And that's how the matter did it, right? And so that's what we do. So anyway, so we know. So, now. So, our confession imprisons us if it is negative. When you make a negative confession, you are in prison, whether you like it or not, you know. Or it will set us free. If it is a positive confession based upon the word of God, it sets you free, right? That's what he's going to do. Many are always telling of their failings and their lack of faith. So, invariably, what happens? They go to the level of that confession, voluntarily or involuntarily. You get in there. So beware of negative confessions, you know. Confessing a lack of faith increases doubt. That's true. If you confess lack of faith, then doubt will increase. Every time you confess doubt and fear, you confess your faith in Satan and deny the ability and grace of God. Is that simple? Powerful, but simple and powerful. I say it again. Every time you confess doubt and fear, you confess your faith in Satan and deny the ability and grace of God. When you confess doubt, you are imprisoned with your own words. Said the scripture, the wisest man of his time, but he wrote by divine inspiration in Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken, meaning you are taken captive with the words of thy mouth, he says. So beware of negative confession now. When we doubt the word of God, it is because we believe something else. That is, you know, there can be no neutral ground, right? If you doubt God's word, it means you are believing something else, you know, that is different from the word of God. So be careful. You are believing something that is contrary to that word. If you doubt God's word, it means you are believing something contrary to the word of God. Raw confession shuts out, our Heavenly Father out, and he lets Satan in. All kind of things. Wrong confession will shut out our Heavenly Father and we let in Satan. That's why we are warned in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil, right? How the Bible says, don't accept anything that Satan brings. Heed the divine injunction given to us in Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. We are to refuse to have anything to do with wrong confession. When we realize that we will never rise above our confession, then we are getting to the place where God can really use us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because you are now confessing just this word. And then you will not fail in helping you and I when we do. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, he says. We are commanded in Ephesians 4:29 to speak only that which is good to the use of edifying. If you are talking about, you know, taking care of what you say and confess, these are part of it, right? We are not to testify for the adversary, meaning the devil. We are to act faith, we are to speak faith, and we are to think faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's right. We are to act faith, speak faith, and think faith. Well, how about those negative thoughts? What happened to them then? I said you have to think faith, right? You have to think faith, you have to think, speak faith and act faith. Well, there is an antidote to that in Philippians 4:8. So I said you can't prevent thoughts from coming, right? There's an antidote to it, where they call negative words. I like this one, Ephesians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, that's what only God wants is true, right? Whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I always call it a filter. You put that filter on your mind, right? When things pass through that filter, it doesn't meet this criteria. It's a conjunction, and, right? If you face any of these tests, then don't think on it. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. If it's not true, why are you thinking about it? If it's not just, don't think about it. You know, it's not a good report. People that will hear good, bad reports, right? Don't be part of those people, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Whether it's about Christian or no Christian, don't be a hearer and don't want to hear bad reports about anybody. Don't be part of it, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when negative thoughts come, turn it around to what we just read in Philippians 4:8, you know. So in 2 Corinthians 10:4, another one, you know, to help us in our thinking, because before you say anything, it comes to your mind first, right? That's why we're talking about thinking right now. Before you say something, it comes out to your mind first. So you have to really, you know, make sure you renew your mind by the word of God, right? So in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch this now. Casting down imagination, they will come. You know it. They will come. Casting down imagination, that means reasoning. Don't reason against God's word, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. That happened, that put the human race in this trouble, right? Life on the garden and so on, you know? So anyway, casting down imagination or reasoning if you want. And every thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's right. And we can do all things, right? Through Christ Jesus, stretching us on. When the negative crown comes, not only the criteria of Philippians 4 is straight away, then again, submit them unto Christ. I got nothing to do with you. I have the word of God. We are to give the word of God its rightful place in our mind and in our lead. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or if we like, our confession of God's word. Don't let any decision come around you where, you know, we make it to prevent you from confessing the word of God. No matter what is around you, no matter what pressure you have, you know, don't forget now, our eternal high priest is watching what you say. You speak his word, we bring it to pass, amen? Now, this is the confession of our faith in the redemption work that the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought for us. We are told to hold fast to the confession of the absolute integrity of the word of God. That's what you are confessing. You hold to that word. You hold fast to the absolute integrity of the word of God. We are told to hold fast to the confession of the work of Christ in all its phases, you know, in our life. We are to know what our rights and privileges are in the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in the word of God, and then hold fast to our confession of those rights and privileges. When you know rights, your rights and privileges, you hold fast to those rights and privileges in the face of any adversity. You hold on to it and God will not fail you. When you know from Matthew 8:17, for example, where it says that Christ took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses, hold fast to that confession of this truth, amen? Praise the Lord. Just taking promises here and there. You know, that's a very powerful scripture. That chapter of Matthew is full of miracles that the Lord did, and so on. There are many, many miracles. There you see Peter's mother-in-law was healed of a fever, and all of those things. Went to pray on a high mountain before he came back, that a long queue, people wanted to be healed and so on, that, you know. Anyway, Bible said that they might be fulfilled, that who was healed by Isaiah the prophet. Himself, meaning our Lord Jesus Christ, took our infirmity and there our sicknesses. When you know that, I don't care what sickness it is, hold on to that, and God will bring it to pass. When you know from 1 John 4:4, hold that confession. What did it say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Hold to that confession. Praise the Lord. So don't be terrified by whatever in the book of foot of Satan and so on that, you know. Tell him, greater is he that is in me than he that is you outside that Satan. And that's all he knows. It is written. He must obey. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's right. So he must obey. Now, we are to hold fast our confession of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, in order that it may be done in us. I repeat that one. We are to hold fast our confession of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, in order that it may be done in us. We are to hold fast to the confession of our redemption from Satan's dominion, which I said before. We are to hold fast to our confession in the face of all contrary evidence. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Or whatever situation you are in, whether it's spiritual or whatever, contrary to the word of God, no, don't do anything. Just hold fast confessing God's word. So make your lips do their duty. Feed them with the word of God. Amen? That is the duty of your mouth and mine, eh? As a child of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Make them say what God says about your situation. If it is healing, make your lips say, by whose hand I was healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and if I accuse you of sin, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Christ being dead and died no more, root and died no more, even then, you count yourself indeed as dead unto sin and alive unto righteousness. Amen? Mm-hmm. That was to tell him, remind you of whatever happened in the past and so forth. Anyway, so you see, now, so, don't allow them, meaning your mouth, my mouth, to say anything to the contrary to the word of God. Believing God's word with our heart implies our having put off the old man, you see, that what it means in the recent, with his habit of judging by the evidence of the senses, you know. So, our only problem is to keep in harmony with God's word and not allow the senses to usurp the place of the word of God. Do not allow the five senses to usurp the place of God's word in your life concerning any situation or whatever you need from the Lord. We seem to agree with that in Thomas's. You know what Thomas said? He even boldly said, except I shall see, I will not believe. Except I put my hand at the side and feel the pain of the nail, I will not believe. He even said, I will not believe. Amen. Let us hold to the word of Jesus. Blessed are they who have not seen, yet believe. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That's Thomas, but that is Jesus' version. Blessed is see that has not seen, yet believe it. The word of God is lifeless until faith is breathed into it in your lip and my lip. See? It's there potentially to do anything you want, you know, if you just pick it right. Then it becomes a supernatural force when you speak it, you know, supernatural force and so on. So let us make our lips harmonize with the word of God. Amen? Let us make our lips to harmonize with the word of God. That's how you were born. You were born, you know, with the incorruptible word of God. You see it and so on like that, you know. Anyway, so we do that. Now, Christ's high priestly ministry means our every knee from the moment you are born again until he says come up either. Yes, sir. I can. So Christ's high priestly ministry meets our every need you can conceive from the moment of our new birth until the rapture time. We will meet every need. It's right there for you and me. All the causes is your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And he gave you, he went, and he has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Amen. I can bury mine, but no, that doesn't mean that you don't have faith. As a child, you have faith. You know, you do. But you've got to let it grow too. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyway, and so it meets our every need. You know, it's redemption. Meets our every need at all. Just thank the Lord, you know, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And praise Him. Whenever a need confronts you, that you know is covered by the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in His name, right? Sometimes that praise can be a sacrifice. When everything is against you, I think it's Hebrew, I believe it's, I think 13, 15 or something like that, you know, the Bible says that. So a sacrifice of praise, right? You know, just giving Him praise. The fruit of your lips, right? Don't say nothing negative, just begin to praise the Lord and something like that, you know. So, and God will make it good. Anyway, and, they are to say that Psalm 34:10 is true. I just picked some scripture here that you can be confessing. There are many of them. They are to say that Psalm 34:10 is true. What does it say? But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Say to yourself, in the face of a need, tell the devil, I will not lack any good thing. Amen? Say, Philippians, my God shall supply all my needs. Amen? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Amen? Say, I have passed from death unto life. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. See, confession of our whole redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing will establish you and build your faith as quickly as confession, really, you know. I'm going to finish right now, very short exhortation here. Something we often miss, confession is very, it's simple but very powerful. And when we miss it, we are missing something, really. And if you don't do it enough, so nothing will establish my faith or your faith or build it up as quickly as confession. So confess it in your heart first, whatever you want to God to do for you. Confess it out loud, maybe in your room if you want. Say it over and over again, you know. Say it until your spirit and your words are in agreement, you know. Because they can be in disagreement, you know. That will make them harmonize with the word of God, amen. So keep on saying it. Say it until your whole being swings into harmony and into the line with the word of God. Then whatever you know, whatever you want, the Lord will give it to you. So Christ's words are filled with Himself. The other day, we're talking about what David said in Psalm 119, many places, quicken thou me by thy word, right? So, you know, Christ's words are filled with Himself. And as we act upon this word, they will fill us with Christ, because the Christ and the word, they are one, isn't it? We are to obey the word as we will obey the Lord Jesus Christ if He's standing physically before you right now. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's always there with you. Don't also forget, last one I want to say here, the Bible says, He shall have whatsoever He says. Amen? Praise the Lord. That was the promise of some. So Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are setting the foundation, you know, and the Lord is setting the eyepiece of our confession. They have to confess the word of God. Has God not spoken, nothing will be created at all. You know, we know all things, you know, were created by Him, by the word of God. He taught us to confess His word, His promises. Isaac, you know, if you take Jeremiah says, He will hasten to perform it when He hears it. So we thank You this morning as we go. Help us to strengthen ourselves. get into the use, the habit of confessing the word of God alone and nothing but the word of God. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. And as we go this morning, meditating upon these things, Lord, I'm going to get more results, for our prayers. And we're going to have greater success, much more so in these evil days, as we do for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also even, confessing of the imminent coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is one of our greatest confessions. The Bible says, every person you meet, do not be ashamed to tell them of the hope which is in you. Praise be the Lord Jesus. So that's another confession, one of the greatest confessions. Tell them of the hope is in you. The Lord is coming, so don't be ashamed of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be the Lord Jesus.
Amen.